Welcome to the Israel Daily News Podcast. I'm your host, Shanna Fold, and I'm here to get you caught up quickly. I've got some top news stories for you today from Israel, and guess what? You're listening, so you're already on top of your game. Survive and thrive, people. Knowledge is the best weapon. Today is Monday, August 10th, 2026 in the Gregorian calendar, and the 27th of Av 5786 in the Hebrew calendar. Now, let's get to the news. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu rejected U.S. President Donald Trump's 15-point Gaza plan on Sunday, stressing Israel's categorical opposition to the Board of Peace deal that Hamas has already agreed to. Netanyahu insists that the IDF will not withdraw from any part of the Gaza Strip until Hamas fully disarms. Hamas says they will not disarm. Mind you, this was the whole crux of the ceasefire agreement, that Hamas would disarm and Israel would withdraw. That was what was agreed upon. And that has not happened. Netanyahu also addressed reports that he personally approved a pilot IDF pullout from three areas near Rafah in Gaza before then reversing course days later. Netanyahu called Trump a great friend, but says he knows how to stand his ground when it comes to working with the U.S. president. The White House responded that it isn't worried about Netanyahu's refusal to sign on. This rejection from Jerusalem sets up a fresh standoff with Washington over how this war is set to end. Again, this ceasefire in which Hamas was supposed to disarm was penned up months and months ago, and it has not happened. Meanwhile, Board of Peace envoy Nikolai Mladenov told Israel's Channel 12 on Sunday that only a full execution of the Gaza peace plan can guarantee that an attack like October 7th never happens again. Nikolai says the disarmament plan isn't built on trust, but on complete verification of Hamas's progress at every stage. The issue here, from an Israeli perspective, is that Hamas is outright refusing to disarm, and that was agreed upon in October of 2025. So we're coming up on a year in which Hamas has not only not disarmed, but they've executed people in the streets, Gazans in the streets. So I am not sure what roadmap the Board of Peace is following, but this representative, Nikolai, says that it's going to be followed to the letter. Three aides to Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu leaked classified information to Qatar about Israeli concerns regarding Egypt. According to an Israel Hayom news report citing an Israeli security official, the Qataris leaked the information they received from former Netanyahu aides Yonatan Oreck, Eli Feldstein, and Israel Einhorn as part of a campaign to undermine Egyptian officials in front of the Israeli public, making way for Qatar to take the role as the lead mediator in hostage negotiations with Hamas. Egypt and Qatar were the two key mediators in talks aimed at reaching a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas and securing the release of the hostages taken by Hamas during the October 7th, 2023 massacre, in which 1,200 people were killed and more than 250 were taken hostage. The trio are all key suspects in Qatargate, the nickname dubbed for the scandal involving leaks of classified material to Qatar. And this is just another note in this file. A new election poll released Monday shows neither the pro-Netanyahu nor anti-Netanyahu blocs are likely to win a majority in the next Knesset. Elections are set for October. The survey also finds that the new right-wing parties launched by former Likud figures fall short of the electoral threshold. Tensions are flaring with both camps. A senior Haredi, or ultra-Orthodox leader, suggested that he might withhold support from Netanyahu, which then caused a sharp scoff from Naftali Bennett, who is a front-running candidate. Meanwhile, Yesh Atid member of Knesset Yoav Seglovitz is reportedly planning to run for Knesset on Mansour Abbas's Ra'am slate. making him this party's first Jewish candidate ever. This is pretty unusual. The move would mark a landmark shift for Ra'am, which is an Arab Islamist party that's recently been pivoting away from its religious roots, which is a story in and of itself, because many Israeli members of Knesset refuse to work with this Arab party because they have a fundamental Islamist background, which is considered to be extreme. And it's also the Islamist fundamentalists don't believe in the state of Israel. So it's really contradictory to a successful Israeli government. This recent poll shows how fractured Israel's political map has become with just months leading up to the October vote. Every bloc now needs partners, and it doesn't fully trust or align with the other parties. And they're going to need to figure that out because you need to form a government. You need to have a majority. You need to have over 61. There's 120 seats. And that means that each party, let's say each party is anywhere between 4 and 25 seats, let's say they need to work together to form a right wing or a left wing or perhaps a centrist bloc. If you're a bit confused about how the elections work, just listen to our Thursday episode with Binyamin Moalem. We presented the news and then did a deep dive on the elections, the party shifts, and how the system works. Iran named a new head of its Supreme National Security Council over the weekend, Mohsen Rizaei, a former IRGC commander wanted by Interpol for his connection with the deadly 1994 Amia bombing in Buenos Aires, Argentina. That attack on a Jewish community center killed 85 people and remains one of the deadliest anti-Semitic attacks outside of Israel. Rezaei becomes the second person to lead the council since Israel killed his predecessor, Ali Larjani, in a strike in March. The appointment signals Tehran is leaning on hardline security veterans as it manages the ongoing standoff with the United States and Israel. Argentina has sought Rezaei's extradition for decades without success. His new post puts him at the center of Iran's response to this ongoing regional war. A 12-year-old boy named Elhanan Karney drowned in the Jordan River on Sunday after falling off of a raft during a family trip in northern Israel. Rescuers launched an hour-long search after the boy went missing under the water. Israel's fire and rescue services found him and pronounced him dead at the scene. The tragedy struck the same day that a 16-year-old boy died in a separate rappelling accident elsewhere in Israel's north. Both incidents happened during the peak of Israel's summer travel season, when families are heading up north for hikes and water trips. The deaths are a somber reminder that accidents can happen. We here at the Israel Daily News send our heartfelt condolences to the families, communities, and friends of these young people who lost their lives during what was meant to be a fun summer holiday. We invite you to become a monthly supporter of the Israel Daily News. The Israel Daily News now has its own direct donation platform. Listeners can contribute monthly or make one-time donations directly through the website. Your support helps keep our independent journalism alive and growing. You can also follow Israel Daily News on social media platforms like Instagram, TikTok, X, LinkedIn, and you can find us on X at Israel Podcast. Yes, that's us. We're Israel Podcast. Israel's government has announced something that private citizens have been quietly discussing and hoping for, especially since so many parents have left their jobs to enter reserve duty in the last few years. The country is now offering some 20,000 discounted homes to IDF reservists over the coming years. The plan rewards soldiers who've spent months away from work and family serving multiple call-ups since the war began. Housing officials say the discounts are targeting reservists who've logged the heaviest service, prioritizing those who have been hardest hit financially. The move marks one of the most concrete benefits the state has offered reservists to date. Those interested will have to enter through a government-run lottery, and successful applicants could receive discounts of more than 500,000 shekels, that's about $167,000, on a new home. In the latest discount apartment lottery, 25,354 reservists registered, 4,734 have won apartments. In this new incentive, reservists will be allotted 75% of the apartments compared to 50% in the previous round. Colombia's new president, Abelardo de la Espriella, met with Foreign Minister Gideon Saar this month and reaffirmed his pledge to move Colombia's embassy to Jerusalem. Saar thanked him for the commitment and welcomed the shift after years of strained ties under Colombia's previous administration. The new president took office promising to restore the relationship between Bogota and Jerusalem. The meeting signals a genuine diplomatic thaw between these two countries. All right, well, that is it for today's show. Today is Monday, August 10th, 2026. Tel Aviv has a high of 33 degrees and a low of 26. That's 91 degrees Fahrenheit with a low of 79. We are everywhere. Don't forget to sign up to our Israel Weekly News Wrap. The Israel Weekly News Wrap is a newsletter with the top five stories coming out of Israel from throughout the week. And of course, with a personal note from me at the top. You can sign up for that at israeldailynews.org. Scroll down to the bottom and drop your email address in. A big thank you goes out to our incredible sponsor, Marianne Vollinger, our writer, Perry Schwartz, and our associate producer, Lori May. Have a great and productive day and an excellent week. Shavua Tov, everyone.